The Iranian president inaugurates world's tallest concrete dam project. BRICS members reiterate Iran's nuclear energy rights. Iran describes Arab League move on Syria as improper. 15 students are killed and dozens injured in Damascus University shelling by armed groups fighting Syrian government. And Italy in limbo after Bersani loses government bid. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iran in English News with me, Niman Shitsas. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has inaugurated a major construction project to build the world's tallest double-curved concrete arch dam in Iran's western Lorestan province. At a ceremony in the city of Khorramabad, the president expressed gladness over launching the major project, which will be carried out entirely by Iranian experts and construction workers. The 315-meter-tall dam has been designed to construct a hydroelectric power plant that will generate 1,500 megawatt electricity. President Ahmadinejad described the Bakhtiari Dam project as a turning point in the path towards the development, progress, and improvement of Lorestan province. The president added that the world's tallest double-curved concrete dam is being built by the able hands and expertise of the committed Iranian scientists and workforce. The dam will be built over Lorestan's Bakhtiari River. Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi has arrived in Tajikistan's capital city of Dushanbe to participate in the 11th ministerial meeting of the Asian Cooperation Dialogue. The 11th Asian Cooperation Dialogue ministerial meeting will be held in Dushanbe on Friday. The meeting aims to consolidate Asian strengths and fortify the continent's competitiveness by maximizing its diversity and rich resources. The Iranian minister attended the event at the official invitation of his Tajik counterpart, Hamrokhan Zarifi. Salehi is supposed to meet with Tajik President Emomali Rahman, as well as Iranians settled in Tajikistan in his two-day visit. Established in 2002, the Asian Cooperation Dialogue seeks to promote Asian cooperation at a continental level and to help integrate separate regional cooperation organizations. The body was originally founded by 18 members. The BRICS group of emerging powers has stressed on Iran's right to use nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. BRICS member states also expressed concern over unilateral sanctions and the threat of military action against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Leaders from Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa called for political and diplomatic means to deal with the issue of Iran's nuclear energy program at the 5th annual summit held in the South African city of Durban. Meanwhile, BRICS nations further voiced deep concern over nearly 2 years of ongoing unrest in Syria. The group's leaders urged a Syrian-led political process to solve the crisis through dialogue that meets the legitimate aspirations of all sections of Syrian society and respect for Syria's independence. Iran's deputy foreign minister has denounced the improper move by the Arab League to hand Syria's seat to the Syrian foreign-backed opposition. In a meeting with chairman of the Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq in Baghdad, Hossein Amir Abdullahian warned the Arab League against pursuing a dangerous trend regarding Syria. He said granting Syria's seat in the Arab League to a group that doesn't have the nation's direct vote is an improper measure. He also noted that the Arab League has begun a dangerous trend that can also be used against certain members of the bloc in the future. On Tuesday, Syria's foreign-backed opposition bloc, known as the National Coalition, took Syria's seat during the Arab League annual summit held in the Qatari capital, Doha. Meantime, Russia also condemned the move by the Arab League to hand Syria's seat to opposition forces and called it illegal and indefensible. The Russian Foreign Ministry made the announcement in an official statement. The statement read, "In terms of international law, the League's decision on Syria as illegal because the government of the Syrian Arab Republic is the legitimate representative member state at the United Nations. Elsewhere, Russia said it will strongly oppose any bid to give Syria's UN seat to the rebel coalition fighting President Bashar al-Assad. Russia's UN envoy Vitaly Churkin said, recognizing the Syrian National Coalition would undercut the standing of the UN. Churkin reaffirmed Russia's condemnation of the Arab League for naming the coalition as a legitimate government and said the League was now playing a negative role in a two-year-old Syrian conflict. Also, Lebanese caretaker foreign minister Adnan Mansour said, granting the Syrian opposition a seat at the Arab League is a serious, unprecedented move. Mansour pointed to the Article 8 of the AL Constitution that states members should respect the existing regimes of the Arab states and pledge on not taking any action to change it. He said replacing Syria, a member of the UN, with another party will not stop the cycle of violence in Syria but will create future repercussions on the region. Meantime, Russia is questioning whether the UN Arab League joint envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi, could stay as a lawful representative in Syria crisis following the League's latest move. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said, a big question arises about the mandate of Lakhdar Brahimi, who is a representative of the United Nations and the Arab League, on contact and negotiations between the Syrian government and opposition for the purpose of finding a mutually acceptable solution before the Arab League summit. Lavrov said, I just can't see how Brahimi can continue representing not only the UN, but also the Arab League. He added, the results of the Arab League summit showed it has given up the peaceful settlement of the prolonged crisis. In the meantime, at least 15 students have been killed in Syria after foreign-sponsored militants targeted the Damascus University with mortar shells. The projectiles landed inside the canteen of the university's Faculty of Architecture on Thursday. More than 20 other students sustained injuries in the attack. Meanwhile, two civilians were killed and another injured when gunmen opened fire on a passenger minibus with machine guns near Didit Artuz and southwest of Damascus. Local officials said the attack took place on the Al Arbain Highway opposite police housing compounds. Moreover, according to a report released by the Associated Press, the countries that support militant groups in Syria have dramatically increased the amount of weapons being sent to the militants. The report said a carefully prepared covert operation involving Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Turkey, and Qatar was arming the foreign-backed rebels in Syria. The report also added that the operation was being carried out with the consultation of the U.S. and other Western governments. And here's a recap of tonight's top stories. Iranian president tonight praised world's tallest concrete dam project. BRICS members reread Iran's nuclear energy rights. Iran describes Arab League move on Syria as improper. 15 students are killed and dozens injured in Damascus University shelling by armed groups fighting Syrian government. And Italy is in limbo after Bersani loses government bid. Afghan villagers say they have been forced to flee their homes due to U.S. drone attacks intended to target militants. They said they fled their home in the middle of the night to escape relentless airstrikes from U.S. drones in different areas in Afghanistan. The U.S. military is increasingly relying on drone strikes inside Afghanistan, with the number of weapons fired from unmanned aerial aircraft soared from 294 in 2011 to 506 last year. Criticism of the use of drones for targeted killings around the world has been mounting in recent months. The UN Special Rapporteur on Counterterrorism and Human Rights has launched an investigation into their effect on civilians.
Plane flies over our heads and we don't know when it's going to start bombing. no one doing anything to stop it. No one cares.
When the operation started, the school was bombed by drone planes, helicopters, and fighter jets. We've been facing this problem for 2 years.
The plane was circling when it bombed this place. I was wounded and my friend was killed. Then the fighting got worse and everywhere was flames of fire.
Meantime, a group of U.S. activists said they plan to launch a series of protests in April to generate a public uprising across the country against the government's deadly drone policy. The planned protests, dubbed April Days of Action, will begin on April 3 with a rally in New York and will spread nationwide. Anti-drones activists plan to stage protest rallies near military bases, universities, and companies involved in President Barack Obama's policy of targeted killings. Reports say in Pakistan alone, 366 strikes have killed up to 3,581 people, with 884 being innocent civilians. Washington uses assassination drones in several countries, claiming that they target terrorists. A young Afghan man has stabbed an American soldier to death in the eastern province of Nangarhar. Officials said the 14-year-old assailant has fled the scene after approaching the soldier and stabbing him. Meanwhile, Taliban forces have said the boy, identified as Khalid, has taken refuge with them. Local residents also said U.S. forces have rounded up 200 people following the incident. The United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in 2001 as part of Washington's so-called War on Terror. The offensive removed the Taliban from power, but the country is still gripped with insecurity. A Bahraini court has refused to drop the charges against two medical personnel over their participation in protest rallies against the ruling Al Khalifa regime. Defense lawyer Abdullah Al-Shamlawi said the pair did not appear in court on Thursday. He added that the court ordered charges against 21 other medical staffers to be dropped. Last October, five doctors lost their appeals against convictions of protest-related offenses. Dozens of doctors and nurses, mostly from Salmania Hospital, have been arrested by Bahraini forces for treating wounded protesters and taking part in anti-regime demonstrations. The Bahraini uprising began in mid-February 2011. The Bahraini government promptly launched a brutal crackdown on the peaceful protests and called in Saudi-led forces from neighboring states. Banks in Cyprus reopened on Thursday with tight controls imposed on transactions to prevent a run on deposits. This comes after the government was forced to accept a stringent EU rescue package to prevent the country from going bankrupt. Banks were shut almost 2 weeks ago as the government negotiated a 10 billion euro bailout package, the first in Europe's single currency zone to impose losses on bank depositors. A finance ministry decree imposes strict controls, limiting cash withdrawals to no more than 300 euros per day and banning the cashing of checks. The island central bank will review all commercial transactions over 5,000 euros and scrutinize transactions over 200,000 euros on an individual basis. Authorities said the emergency rules imposed to limit withdrawals and prevent a bank run would be temporary, but economists say they will be difficult to lift as long as the economy is in crisis.
Everything has been paralyzed. My business was already low. No one thinks of buying flowers. People think of everything but flowers. They've got other priorities. But now there is half an hour delay and we're just waiting here. What could have happened?
In Italy, the country's leftist leader, Pierluigi Bersani, has lost his bid to form a new government. Experts say what happened on Thursday left the Eurozone's third-largest economy in limbo. This comes a week after Bersani had been given a mandate to try and muster enough support to govern after inconclusive elections that left the country vulnerable on financial markets. However, after 6 days of intense and often bitter consultations with rival parties, Bersani said he had failed to gather the parliamentary backing needed to rule. In the United States, at least 127 people were detained at a rally in Chicago on Wednesday. The rally was organized by Chicago Teachers Union to protest school closures. An estimated 700 to 900 strong crowd participated in the rally. This is while about 150 people held a sit-in on LaSalle Street and North-South Street in downtown Chicago before the main group of the protesters moved on the Chicago Public Schools headquarters. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.